I'm going to take just a few moments this morning with you before we get to the Musaf service to think about the Kriyat HaTorah this morning, this morning's Torah portion, the weekly portion, not the special Maftir that Izzy read, but the weekly portion, which was Shmini this morning. And Shmini, interesting in that it's really sort of two distinct sections, two topics. First half is about the death of Aaron's sons and the end of the dedication process of the Mishkan, and how it goes awry, seemingly. And the second half is about the sort of primitive, we might say, laws of kashrut, the early sort of presentation of the laws of kashrut. So, Ben, first of all, your take on what happens with the Mishkan dedication, the tabernacle dedication, and what goes wrong there?
Yeah, you know what's funny? Here's a fun fact, right? That there is an episode of MASH which quotes this parasha this morning, where Father Mulcahy is giving a sermon on temperance. And in Leviticus 10, the verse we actually read it today, take ye no drink while you enter into the meeting. Yeah, so I think it's kind of interesting what is happening here in this incident, we'll say. It's troubled our sages for centuries, I know. I personally don't have a problem with it, but I know it's been troubling to our commentators for a variety of reasons as to what it is, why is it that Nadav and Avihu were sort of sentenced to death for their you know, issue. And, you know, I think there are sort of two ways to look at it. One, coming from an area of sort of arrogance, right? This changing of the law. In fact, there's an interesting trope issue here. A rare merchak fula, a double mercha on the word for lo, asher lo tziva otam, that God did not command them to take. Usually the phrase is asher tziveti, asher tziva otam, ka asher tziva moshe, right, that I did command you. But here a rare negative, that I did not command you. So it seems to be some sort of issue there where they're sort of taking the law into their own hands or arrogance. There's one commentary that says that they wanted to sort of supersede Moses and Aaron and, you know, take over. It's all these sorts of weird sort of things going on there. It's a technically difficult Kriya, a lot of weird issues, but I'm going to go with the arrogance route.
So there's also, you know, there's a repetition of a verse in there. So what happens is, we didn't read the full beginning of the parsha, if you weren't reading that part, that Aaron's sons, while the tabernacle is being dedicated, there's been this long process, and this is the eighth day of this process of dedication, and it's very dramatic, and Aaron and Moses have the people assembled, and there are sacrifices that are offered, and it says, Vateitse esh milifnei Adonai vatochal, that fire came forth from God, and it ate up the sacrifices. It ate up the sacrifices. And then the next thing that happens is that two of Aaron's sons, Nadav and Avihu, wander into this place where this is all going on, and they're struck dead, but also by fire. And the verse there is the same, Vateitse esh milifnei Adonai vatochal. So some commentators say what actually happened was they were just in the wrong place at the wrong. They happened to wander in at the very instant that the fire was going
down. I don't
down.
Buy that. I mean, come on. We're inside the area.
I didn't make it up.
I know you didn't make it up. I don't buy it. I think that's like a generous sort of way of sort of letting them get away with something that they knew better, right? That they knew better not to be in that sacred precinct. They knew better.
I feel like I'm in Siskel and Ebert. Those of you who remember that. Okay, so we'll agree to disagree on that. Let's shift to the kashrut laws, which make up the second half of the parsha. And what's your sense of it? And
yeah, kashrut is great. I love kashrut. I think it's one of those you know, the laws of the Torah that, you know, we don't really, this is one of those chukim that we don't always understand a reason for it. A lot of people over the years have said, oh, well, it's because really, you know, there's actual health benefits to observing kashrut, which may or may not be true. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. Also, I don't care.
Did you stay in a Holiday Inn last night, though?
No, I did not stay in a Holiday Inn last night. But yeah, I think that this is one of those things. You know, Judaism is a religion sort of laws and ethical laws, and I think kashrut sort of falls into that sort of mystical categories of things we do. We don't necessarily understand why we do them, but it's important for God for us to do it, and for us to be in a sacred community. Sometimes there are things that we're going to do that we don't always understand, but it helps to keep the community together.
Certainly, yes. Certainly community is key to the whole idea of kashrut. Always was. I mean, it's for me, I read the laws of kashrut in the Torah, and two things strike me. One is how ancient these laws are. I mean,
yeah.
If it's in the Torah already, it's something that Jews have been doing, following some form of dietary regime for you know, at least 3,000 years, something like that. To me, that's compelling and astonishing. But it also is an illustration of how things change over time.
For sure.
Because the kashrut system that we find in the Torah is not the kashrut system we observe today. It's evolved over time, as well as so many of our traditions have. Do you think there's any reason why the two things are combined into one parsha?
Yeah, I think it has to do with the way and the mindset in which we approach God. Right, we do things with kavanah, with intention, and I think one of Nadav or Father Mulcahy calls them Nadab and Abihu's faults were, you know, not being in that right state of mind when entering into the sacred precinct, and that's when the fire ate them. And the same thing with kashrut, we should do everything with intention. This is one of the ways where we're elevating essentially a biological thing we have to eat, right? But we're putting it on a higher spiritual level. We're increasing. We're ma'alin b'kodesh. We're putting ourselves on a higher spiritual plane. And when we're approaching God, you know, we should be doing that in all the things we do, including eating and drinking.
So with both worship of God and so the most sacred things and the most mundane things, just eating,
always try to
should be done with reverence. With
I
reverence.
Think so.
Yeah, it's beautifully said. So we're going to wrap it up there, Ben. Appreciate it as always. But Cantor King. I want to ask you a trivia question, because Ben raised the character of Father Mulcahy from MASH. Do you remember the Purim that I dressed up as Father Mulcahy?
I remember. In fact, I watched that video. It's on YouTube, if you want to find it. It's on YouTube, where we did the Who's On. It wasn't the Who's On First, but it was very much like the Who's On First, the Abbott and Costello routine.
Yeah. I was a pretty good Father Mulcahy.
You were fantastic, yeah.
He's also in an episode of Hogan's Heroes.
So appreciate your indulgence as we went into a little bit of Torah talk. Hope some insight into the Parsha this morning. Shmini again is the name. And we'll turn now to the Chatzi Kaddish that precedes the Musaf service, which you can find on page 374.